Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, China has moved quickly to suppress those protests that erupted across the country over the weekend, deploying police forces at key protest sites and tightening online censorship. The demonstrations were sparked by anger over the country's zero COVID policy. But as the numbers swelled at the protests, so too have feelings of unrest and calls for greater freedom and democracy. Some protesters are even calling for the removal of leader Xi Jinping. Well, I'm joined by Raffaello Pantucci, senior fellow at RSIS think tank in Singapore and author of Sinistan, China's Inadvertent Empire. Raffaello, thank you for joining us at the moment. Can you give us a clear picture of what's happening in China at the moment in relation to these protests?
Well, thank you for the invitation to come and talk to you. I mean, I think it's very difficult to know exactly what's going on at the moment. From what we can understand from the outside, it seems as though the initial kind of wave of protests and anger that we saw over the past few days does seem to have died down today. And from what we can tell, it appears as though there's sort of been a very heavy police presence on the streets to try to dissuade people from gathering and to try to sort of preempt some of the places where people might have previously gathered. But we can see through some of the chatter online that there is still some anger, even though the censors appear to be being much more aggressive about taking down any content that they see that might be fanning the flames.
I was talking to a journalist on the programme yesterday who was in Shanghai, and as we were speaking, news came in of over 2,000 cases in the past 15 hours in Beijing. And I was asking him, what will the response be now to these cases? And he said, well, the problem is we don't know. And that's where a lot of the frustration lies, that the policy isn't clear now on COVID anymore.
Well, I think the difficulty is that there is a fairly clear line on the policy, which is zero COVID. But then when you look at the implementation, it's not always exactly the same. You know, there are reports you can see of people, you know, having coming in contact with a case because they sort of happen to go to the supermarket, and, you know, 2 hours before a contact is there, and then they get called up 2 days later. But then, you know, that if we're actually following through on the policy, then there's 2 days theoretically in which it spread. So then do they go back and trace? They don't. People get reports that they're suddenly going to be sent to a quarantine, then they get told they're not. And then it's become a bit erratic, and it appears as though the system is becoming a bit overwhelmed, frankly, with the sheer volume and the sheer expense of this very aggressive approach towards zero COVID that the government's been trying to do.
What has the impact of the World Cup been on people in China?
Well, there has been some evidence that the Chinese media state broadcaster CCTV has been editing the video coverage of the games to try to, when if you imagine a football game, you know, various points when one team scores or something happens, the cameras will often pan into the audience, you know, to focus on some, you know, celebrating fans or weeping fans or something. Well, what we appear to have noticed is during the Chinese coverage, when it cuts to the crowd, instead what it appears to cut to is other players or the coaches on the sidelines. And we don't actually see those big shots of the crowd. And the logic is that if you were to see those, you'd see a lot of people not wearing masks. And this would somehow highlight to people in China that they still are living in this incredibly restrictive environment when the rest of the world has sort of moved on and is, you know, celebrating large public football events and so on and so forth without having to wear masks and under this very aggressive zero COVID policy. So it's kind of a reflection of the fact the government is sensitive to the fact of how unhappy people are towards the zero COVID policy.
I saw last night on Twitter a political journalist warning some of the younger people who are coming out to protest about what might be lying down the road for them in terms of what could happen to them once the authorities get hold of them. And he said that the new generation of Chinese are victims of forced collective amnesia with little sense of how hard the state is willing to crush dissent. Do you agree with that, that warning is needed?
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly true. You've got a generation of people in China, young people in China, who've been brought up with absolutely no memory of the events of Tiananmen Square from 1989. And in that instance, we saw the government really crack down quite aggressively and killed a lot of people in an attempt to quash a protest. And I think the point that's being made, which is, you know, understandable, is that this is a hard government. And when it comes to it and it really wants to crack down, it could really bring down the cosh. And that's something that I think the people who we see taking the streets have not really ever seen with the level of violence and aggression that was seen in 1989. Whether that would actually happen, I think, is an open question right now. I think the government has other tools it might use, but it's certainly true that, you know, there is a part of this party and very strong component of this party wanting to survive. And I think any sort of direct, any threat to it might respond, might result in a very aggressive crackdown to bring back order.
It's probably very difficult to predict where these protests are going to lead to because they're reactive and leaderless.
Yes, no, that's exactly right. I mean, you're looking at a protest which doesn't appear to have a clear structure. It appears to have essentially started. It appears to be in a buildup of anger that seems to have found a particular event to crystallize around. This event was over the weekend. There was a fire at a building in Urumqi in Xinjiang in the western region of China, where a number of people died in this fire in entirely preventable ways because the fire engines and the firemen could not actually get to them. And the reporting was that actually it was a result of the COVID restrictions that had been imposed and the blockages that are made of sort of fire exits in the building that had led to people essentially being trapped and dying in this completely unnecessary way. And this is something that people in China have feared a great deal, because if you look at the way that the sort of zero COVID is imposed, when, you know, a building is revealed to have a case in it, sometimes they'll literally seal the building off, you know, and sort of put bars on all the doors and block everything. Now, that keeps everyone in, it's true, but it also means in the case of an emergency like a fire, people just can't get out. And so people have feared this happening for a great deal, and it actually happening in this brutal way and seemingly linked to these restrictions, you know, comes at a moment where everyone is frankly getting tired of the fact that this zero COVID policy does not seem to be ending. And after the party congress a month or so ago, there's a clear sense from the central leadership that there's no desire to lift this policy. Mm-hmm. This all emphasizes to people that, you know, there's no end in sight to this sort of constant restriction, this inability to travel freely, the sudden, you know, pull into some sort of quarantine because, you know, you happen to have gone past someone maybe a few days ago. You know, all of this uncertainty is just going to continue to be a feature of their lives. And frankly, people are tiring of it.
Yeah, I did see on the wires this morning that stocks in the United States had lifted, and that was being attributed to the fact that some were predicting that the COVID restrictions in China would change. But you're saying that you're not seeing any appetite from the government to change how they're dealing with COVID.
Well, it's complicated because on the one hand, we've seen the central leadership, Xi Jinping, has been quite clear that, you know, zero COVID is important and will stay. But at the same time, you can see that there is some evidence of tinkering on the margins of some of these policies. There was some discussion of lifting some of the travel ones. There was a sort of sense that, you know, local governments were being given a little more latitude. But it's not clear exactly what's going on and whether it's a clear policy direction yet, or whether there's still some sort of confusion. So I think it's a little too early, frankly, to know if we're at the end of zero COVID or if we're going to edge towards it. I mean, the government's kind of pinned its, you know, feathers to this horse, you know, pinned its,
yes, it's,
I forget
it's,
the phrase now.
Difficult. It's really, I completely understand what you're saying. It's really difficult to unwind. And I know at the time when people were having debates here and elsewhere about zero COVID policy, we were warned that this could be an outcome down the line. Raffaello, we need to leave it there, but thank you so much for talking to us. Raffaello Pantucci, Senior Fellow at the RSIS Think Tank in Singapore. We'll take a break.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.